This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Let's start off this hour by getting more information and more feedback and just more information, I think, is probably the bigger part about Kareem Hunt becoming a member of the Cleveland Browns. We turn to Mary Kay Cabot, super friend of the show, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
good.
Okay.
Kind of a bombshell yesterday. Did you see it coming?
Well, I think the first thing that most of the people who cover the Browns thought when he got released and all of this happened was, of course, the light bulb went off over our heads thinking John Dorsey and Kareem Hunt at some point. I think all of us kind of had that inclination that something like this could happen, but it was, you know, way on the back burner. I think most of us really kind of didn't think it was imminent, and it was sort of on the back burner. And so I think it came as a surprise, but nobody was quite shocked that John Dorsey would do this.
Mary Kay, this can be taken a couple of different ways when you look at the organization, and we've heard it here already today. One way is, how can they possibly sign this guy with what you saw on the videotape? And the other is, boy, the Browns are giving a local guy a second chance, and let's hope he can get his act together. How do you think they feel about it? What are they thinking here?
Well, I absolutely think it's the latter on the part of John Dorsey. After talking to him, even one-on-one for a feature story that I did before the start of the season, he really is a man of second chances. This is what he does. It's in his, it's in his DNA, so to speak, to try to save players and give them an opportunity to turn their lives around. And I think that's what this is. It's another chance for him not only to add a good football player to the team, but to perhaps reach out and pull somebody in and get things going in the right direction. And he did that with Tyreek Hill in Kansas City. And so far, it's worked out well for Tyreek Hill. It's probably not always going to work out, but he believes that he has an ability to sense whether a person is deep down inside a good person who is worth saving, or someone who just as he has described it, a hard person, a hard soul that maybe, that isn't worth trying to bring onto your football team and make something out of. But I think in Kareem Hunt, he sees somebody that he feels can go on to be a productive member of society.
Mary Kay, the one thing that's been going through my mind is, when I read the release yesterday, I kept wondering about Dee Haslam and what's going through her mind and what she's thinking. And, the fact that her name was on that release yesterday, and I'm wondering, and also knowing her role with the NFL, where does Dee Haslam fit into this whole thing?
Well, I'm sure that if Dee signed off on it, and she did, she must feel the same way. And I'm sure John Dorsey presented it to her as such, that this is a young man who we should try to give him an opportunity to come back to his hometown and become an asset to the community if he does all of the right things. So I think that Dee saw it that way as well, and that's what they're hoping will happen.
Do you think Dee has a greater responsibility on this too, knowing that she's going to sign off on this situation, knowing what her role is with the league, I think more than anything else, and saying to the league, hey, look, this is – we decided this was okay. We decided this was going to be a second chance. I'm just wondering how she integrates into the entire play here.
Well, each one of these situations has to be taken on a case-by-case basis. And I would have to think that with Jimmy and Dee's role in the community of helping schools, of helping a lot of inner-city kids in this community, I would have to think that she is looking at this as an opportunity to do some good in the life of not just Kareem Hunt, but others. And I really believe that's how they must have looked at this. I don't think they looked at this as just giving a chance to someone who hits women. There's no way Dee would bring a player onto the team who she thought would go on to do more violence against a woman or anybody else. That's not how they're looking at this. I think they're looking at it as, again, not only an opportunity to bring a good football player onto the team, but perhaps to turn a horrible situation into a good situation.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the PlainDealerCleveland.com. Mary Kay, in your work, I'm sure you've done a lot more digging into this than we have. Why? And it's kind of weird to me. There's something going on, because what you see on the videotape is self-explanatory. I mean, that there's no denying what you see in the videotape. Odd to me that no charges have been filed in this situation, and it's been a year, which makes me think there's more going on here than we know. Do you have any idea why charges have not been filed?
Well, I don't right now, but the victim does have, I believe, 18 months to decide if she wants to do that. And now circumstances have changed. You know, now he's with a football team. You know, now he does, you know, have something more to lose. I mean, you know, maybe there is a lawyer involved. I don't know. I don't know yet if she will press charges. She very well could do that. And if she does, then everyone has to see how that's going to play out in the legal system. Right now, he's under investigation by the NFL, not only for this incident, but a couple of others. Again, John Dorsey investigated those and still feels that, taken all together, this is a young man who he feels is worth getting on the right track and putting him in the right direction for life. And again, a lot of this has to still play out, and I don't know how the legal end of it will go yet.
All right, let's go back to the NFL part of this. How long do you think he'll be out? How long do you think the suspension will happen, just based on other things I think we've seen over the last couple of years?
I'm guessing it will be somewhere between 6 and 10 games, somewhere around there. I don't know that any of last year's lost 5 games would count towards any of that, because he was, you know, basically just released by a team. It's not like he served any of that time last year. So he could have to serve all, whatever, 6, 8, 10 games, whatever the case may be. And so, yeah, the Browns are taking a chance on, you know, knowing that they might only have him for a portion of the season. But, you know, if all goes well and the way that they hope it goes, they will have him for the long term.
In light of Josh Gordon, what is zero tolerance, as your story wrote this morning?
Well, zero tolerance, and I'm sure there will be gray areas about this as we go along, but I would have to think that zero tolerance would be any other act of violence. I'm not going to say that he's going to run a stop sign and John Dorsey's going to cut him. I don't think that's what he means. A lot of times it's a work in progress with some of the young men that have come from troubled situations. And like we saw with Antonio Callaway, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. So I don't think zero tolerance means, you know, little things like that could happen along the way. I think it means if there is another act of violence committed, he's gone.
Mary Kay, he plays in a league where Ray Lewis comes back from his legal situation and pleads guilty to obstruction of justice and is put on a pedestal by the NFL and, you know, used as one of their poster children. Same thing with Ben Roethlisberger. I would think Kareem Hunt's going to get every opportunity to resume his NFL career and will be embraced by the NFL community if he's able to keep his nose clean.
And it's not just keeping his nose clean, and I think this part of it's important. He has to do more than that. He has to make restitution. He has to make amends. He has to go out into the community. He has to do good works. Those are all the things that he's going to have to do. And if he can do those things, and the Browns believe that he can and will, then, you know, I think that some good can come out of this. And absolutely, it was horrific to watch that video. Very painful to watch and scary. But if the Browns can be part of stopping that and ending that sort of thing, then, you know, then maybe even some lives were saved.
Mary Kay, let me throw this one at you. What are they now doing? Let's just say it's week 10 and he's back. What's the situation with the Browns running backs?
The situation is this. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean.
What an offensive unit.
On paper, I mean, it looks pretty amazing. But also, what are they doing with Duke Johnson? Like, that was the first thing I thought when they signed him yesterday after all the other stuff. I was like, well, now what are they going to do with Duke?
Well, it'll be interesting because, you know, the trading deadline could pass by the time Kareem Hunt gets back onto the field. Yeah. So they'd probably have to make some decisions. And they're discussing that now, I'm sure. I mean, even yesterday, we asked him about Duke Johnson several times yesterday during these two separate interviews, and the last of which he was asked, you know, does this make him expendable? And he said, not yet. Well, he's usually pretty honest about those kinds of things. You know, I've asked him about, you know, Jamie Collins and different things like that over the past couple of months. And, he, you know, if a guy is not going to be here, John Dorsey doesn't usually stand up there and guarantee you that the guy is going to be here. So the fact that he said that Duke is not expendable yet leads me to believe that that will be up for discussion, what they may be able to do with him.
And if Duke is expendable, you would think, Mary Kay, they got to bring in another running back anyway, because you can't bank on Kareem Hunt. Suspension or no suspension, you can't bank on him. So you're either keeping Duke or you're bringing in another running back nonetheless, aren't you?
Well, you know, they've got 11 draft picks. They also still have Dontrell Hilliard on the roster. You know, Duke hasn't really been used that much in the running game. So he's really more of a receiver out of the backfield. Some of it will depend on what Freddie Kitchens likes and how he would want to use him. Some will depend on how Todd Monken feels about the situation. But for sure, he has been you know, very valuable as a receiver out of the backfield and also lined up as a wideout. And so they would just have to figure out if, you know, if they can replace him that way, if for one reason or another they do move him.
Mary Kay, it's been interesting for me and probably for you, I'm sure, over the last 24 hours, the reaction that I've had from like other radio stations just calling to say, hey, what are they thinking in Cleveland? What's going on in Cleveland? Is this good? Is this bad? It's amazing to see the transformation in a year, how one quarterback or one decent season has made this franchise from joke to reality. I mean, if you think about this a year ago, people might have been saying, oh, here we go. It's so Brownsy of them to pick him up. But it's not that way anymore. And I like the questions that we keep getting that at least I got over the last 24 hours were, wow, you know, look at the Browns now. This is a totally different situation. It is kind of just taking a step back and looking at the big picture, it is unique to see where they are right now compared to where they were a year ago.
Well, yeah, the perception of the Browns is completely different, and teams, you know, they don't look at them as the laughing stock of the NFL. Now, I will say, though, this move has drawn a lot of strong reaction both ways. I've gotten a lot of different things in email and on Twitter just both ways. I mean, there are people that absolutely hate this, and there are a lot of people that believe that Kareem Hunt deserves that second chance. So it's been very interesting to see the fallout from this. And the thing about John Dorsey is that he's been through this before. You know, he knew what was coming. I will say that I think this is a market with way more scrutiny on it and way more in the fishbowl here than Kansas City when he did this with Tyreek Hill. But he's been through this before. And you know, he's heard from, you know, women's groups and different things like that. So he knew what to expect. And, again, he took a very big risk with Tyreek Hill. And so far, that's worked out well. And I think that may have, even though he said yesterday each case is different, I still think that helped him to make this decision.
All right, Mary Kay, thank you. We always appreciate your time. Let's see what today's Browns news brings us, huh?
Yep, we shall see.
You never know.
Thank you.
Okay, Mary Kay, thank you. We always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.